We should all know this off by heart now, shouldn't we? Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. Then he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the reading of the Lord. Amen.
Yes. I've entitled my sermon, I give it a title sometimes, just for the sake of the blooming computer. How do we forgive? Jonah was a prophet called by God, no doubt about that. He believed in God, and he knew the task that God required him to do. But he was unwilling to obey, not because I believe he was afraid to go to Nineveh, although there would be that in it. I don't think so. But in the light of recent talk from Peter, and also from my own understanding, Nineveh, in Jonah's eyes, was wickedness incarnate. Wickedness incarnate. They were cruel and evil warriors, and they did not deserve God's forgiveness in Jonah's mind. And as he was talking, I remember there was a poem, I should have looked it up, something about the Assyrians came down like a wolf on the fold. Some poem I learned or read years ago that was talking about the cruelty of the Assyrians. He did not agree with God's compassion. He knew better than God. He did not. That's my thinking on the matter. I mean, Peter might say something quite different, but as I listen, I felt throughout he was not wanting to give these people repentance. So he ran in the opposite direction, paying his own fare for a place on a ship, going to the ends of the earth, as far as he knew. And we know all that transpired on the journey. You know, the storm and the chucking him over and the fish. And the men on board had more spirituality than Jonah, it would seem. But you know, this prophet, who God was going to tame, he couldn't have known David's psalm, "Where shall I flee from thy presence? If I go up to heaven, if I go..." You cannot escape God's presence. And the outcome was that Jonah was jolly well going to Nineveh, whether he liked it or not. He seems to me a very reluctant prophet. Even his message was, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. What hope is there in that message? Does it show anything of the love of God? You see, he was doing everything minimally. No hope. One of the comments which was said by Peter, which was of interest, was that this prophetic book was more about the prophet than the prophecy. And I agree with that. The other prophets, it's mainly their words and a little bit about perhaps their background. But no, this is more about Jonah. The prophet in today's terms could be equated with the preacher. The prophet not just foretells, but forthtells, gives an opinion about what God thinks about the present situation. That's why it's so important, not just that the preacher daily prays, but that we all daily pray. And it's about thinking, it made me think about this preacher. The difficulties I might have in forgiving. You know, there are some preachers who just preach on the nice subjects. There are some preachers that try to tackle the difficult ones. And this forgiving thing is something that, oh, we've preached about and God's great forgiveness, but do we really think about it? Who is it that you don't get on with just now? Either your fault or theirs. We must think about it. And when we think about today in this country and some of the news we hear in the world generally, the mind quakes. It quakes. The abuse and violation of innocence and the work of the dark web. Schools attacked by gunmen and children and teachers killed or traumatized. The paper, students putting on the web about raping fellow students. Students. Elderly people beaten up and robbed in their own homes. Charities, churches, and vulnerable organizations looted. Cruelty in some of the world's war zones and minority groups trying to force others to their way of belief, misusing this wonderful democratic country. These are all areas where I find it hard to ask God to forgive. I do find it hard. Refugee, I get this little booklet from Barnabas, refugee children from Myanmar. Fatherless, motherless, and a refugee. This is a hard burden for a child to bear. But many young Christians from Myanmar, Burma, are bearing it with faith and courage. Barnabas Fund is helping to feed 75 of these brave children who live in two children's homes cared for by loving local believers. And it talks about rice and onions and oil that they need and how much it is. And most of the refugee children are ethnic Karens, a group which has been severely persecuted by the military. In many cases, their parents have been killed. In other cases, the children become separated from their parents by the upheavals of violence and do not know whether they are alive or dead. Poor children. When we think of the happy children that are here dancing and waving their flags and creating a load of noise, there's no comparison, is there? And I look at Matthew, And this is where I have my difficulty. You see, I can't condemn Jonah unless I look at my own troubles. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come. But woe to the person through whom they come." I have great difficulty in praying for the paedophile. But have they been sinned against at some point? And the dark web that we hear about. Sometimes in sheer despair, I say, "Lord, you have to deal with that person because I don't know what to pray." Innocence, young people, Rotherham, Telford. You cannot believe it, can you? God, give me grace. Help me to remember that you are the judge of all, just as you have mercy on all who repent. And after all your mercy, led to Jesus' death for all who believe, and his rising as an example and hope for us all. When I think about how I would feel if I had violated a child, then was so ashamed and disgusted with myself, realizing the enormity of what I'd done through a foolish moment or a drunken moment or whatever, how I would crave forgiveness. How I would crave forgiveness. What about those groups? Oh God, we hear about them. That hurt young boys when they force them to be soldiers. Kill their own parents and rob them of their childhood. Surely having God's grace would be a great antidote to that sin. Let us not forget, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It is important to pray, and this is another thing that fills my heart, burdens my heart. It's important to pray for those at the front line in our communities who are protecting us from the horrors we read about, and may we thank God for them. The soldiers, many traumatized after war. Police, oh God, I often think those who have to look through the load and load and load of paedophile material. Oh dear God in heaven. Prison officers dealing with people like this. Social workers who see terrible things. Jurors. I don't think I could be on a jury that dealt with something like this. Judges. What about the judge that wept? Do they have help? Hospital staff, ambulance men, firemen, and all who play their part in opposing evil, and that they too may not be contaminated by it. That's my prayer. Keep them safe, Lord. I think about, we had a friend called Barry who was an ambulance man. He went to Australia later, but Barry used to say, I don't go right home after work. I have to go and look round the shops and just have a stroll around because I've seen sometimes such terrible things. If he's been in a big car accident with bodies, I can't go right home. And can you understand, it's important that no matter what's been happening in his home that day, he needs a wife or a family there that understand and are sympathetic. Let us never forget, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that he reminds us to judge not, for as we judge, so will we be judged. You know, Helen gave me years ago a little promise box. And every morning when I'm up at the computer, the first thing I do is have a dip in the promise box. And you know, when I have this feeling of, these people, I usually blooming well pick out the one that says, judge not, so that you be not judged. And don't let us forget our daily prayer, which we will say later, forgive us our sins as we forgive. Two, one.